We're continuing intersections today, but before we get to that, would you help me welcome all of the campuses, come on, that are joining with us. We are glad you're there. We are a multi-site church, so we're in different cities today, and we're glad at whatever campus you chose to be at. Now, you've already had a time of worship. Your pastor's already led you there. To all of our campus pastors, you guys are awesome. I appreciate all that you do week in and week out. To those of you who don't know me, my name is Eddie Couples, and I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries, and I get the opportunity every week not only to preach here, but to all of our different campuses as well. So we're glad you're there today, and I believe that God has something for you. So why don't we pray and ask the Lord to prepare our hearts today to receive from Him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You today that You are a good God, and that You love us, and that You care about every aspect of our lives. And so, as we take a few moments today to study Your Word and to see what You're saying to us, help us to be prepared. Prepare each one of us. Lord, each of us, whether we're here at North Campus or one of the other campuses today, God, we are individuals, and there are different things that are happening in all of our worlds. But here's what I know, is that You care for each of us. And not only do You care, You have a way of showing up on our behalf, and we receive that today in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Now listen, we've been talking about intersections, and we've been doing this for several weeks. I know we're working our way through the book of John, and if you're wondering and you haven't heard me say this, we are actually going to be working through the book of John until Easter. So we're going to close out the book of John on Easter Sunday. But we've been looking just at different aspects. Last week, I was in the 10th chapter, so if you want to take your Bibles, we're going back to the 10th chapter today. If you've got your Bible, or maybe you've got it downloaded, you could Word of God download it or something. And if you don't have any of those, in just a moment, it'll come up on the screen. You can follow along that way as well. We've been looking at this whole aspect of where Jesus intersected people's lives. Last week we were looking there where they asked Him in John chapter 10, and they said to him, "Are you the Messiah?" And we dealt with last week that how you look at Jesus determines everything in your life. Now today, the title of the sermon today is Controversy. How many of you have ever heard that Jesus is, you know, He's meek and He's lowly, and ever heard that? Have y'all read the Bible? I may ask you that two or three times a day. He can be meek and lowly. He also can be Indiana Jones with a whip, kicking over tables and running money changers out, okay? And so today's going to be one of those moments of controversy we're going to see in Scripture. So let me read it to you, and then we'll just dig down into it. The book of John, the 10th chapter, and I'm going to begin in verse 25, lengthy passage I'm going to read today, but just follow along either in the Word or on the screen. Jesus answered, "I did tell you," they said, "Are you the Messiah?" And He answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in My Father's name," now don't miss that, "the works I do in My Father's name testify about Me. But you do not believe because you are not My sheep." Remember, a few weeks ago we talked about Him being the good shepherd. "My sheep listen to My voice. I know them and they follow Me. I give them eternal life." Don't miss that. "And they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of My hand. My Father who has given them to Me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of My Father's hand." Now look at that next verse. He says, "I and the Father are one." Now, verse 31 is where it gets a little dicey. Again, His Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone Him, to kill Him. But Jesus said to them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of those do you stone Me?" Verse 33, and we'll be done reading. "We are not stoning you for any good work," they replied, "but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God." Now, time and again, you'll hear this refrain. People will say this, "Well, you know, Jesus never said that He was God." Pretty clear. Right there, He says it. In fact, it is so clear to the men and women who are standing around Him that they're ready to kill Him over His saying that He is God. So it's a pretty clear understanding. Now remember, each week we've talked about the intersection, and here's the intersection for today. It's where man's intellect and the kingdom intersect. Where our understanding, our way of looking at things is one way, and the kingdom of God operates in a different way. Now, we read back there, and we actually preached about a few weeks ago, about Jesus talking about that he was the good shepherd, and he laid his life down for the sheep, and we kind of end there in verse 21. Well, this whole setting is about 2 to 3 months later, where Jesus is now in Jerusalem, he's in the temple, and it's a feast, it's a celebratory time. In fact, it's winter time, we would refer to it as Hanukkah. Jesus is there at the season of Hanukkah, and they're celebrating all of this. And so they're wanting to come to him, and they're saying to him, listen, are you the Messiah? Now, here's what I want you to understand. Their question was all about the here and now, okay? What they are questioning about is, are you the Messiah? Are you the one? There's a reason, and I'll explain it in just a second. They're talking about this moment, this place. And you're going to see that Jesus goes to a whole different paradigm when he speaks here. Now, why are they asking this? Here's the deal. Their concept of Messiah, in fact, still to this day, their concept of Messiah, the Jewish nation is that they are waiting for Messiah to come so that he can reestablish David's natural kingdom upon this earth. They want a new Davidic kingdom to be set up where once again Israel is this powerhouse, and that's why they want a Messiah to come, and that's why they were asking Jesus, are you the Messiah? In other words, are you going to run the Roman army out of here? Are you going to get rid of them? We are sick and tired of being under the thumb of oppression of the Roman Empire. Are you the one who is finally going to get us out of this place? Here's what the deal was. They were looking for a political solution. They were looking for somebody to politically throw off the oppression of that day. Now let's kind of compare that to today. Let's compare that to where we are even as people and as a nation and as the world. In today, it's all about what I want, what feels good, isn't it? I mean, think about it. It's about me. I saw a news article in a week or so ago of this guy, and it kind of became public somehow. I don't even know what happened. And it was talking about that this man, and you start off reading the article and you think, oh, this is a great guy. And it's talking about this man whose wife has Alzheimer's and how he's taking care of her. But the article goes on to say, but he has moved his girlfriend into the house. Now, if you don't find something wrong with that, we got a whole nother sermon I need to be preaching. Okay? And his response when somebody confronted him about how can you do this to your wife, he said, oh, I'm taking care of her. I'm being good to her. But I need to be happy. See, our whole philosophy is, it's about what satisfies me and what makes me happy. And yet Jesus doesn't come from that perspective. In fact, in our day and age, in our society, especially here in America, is that we're all looking back and going, man, if we could just go back, and whatever your favorite part of history is in your life, if we could just go back to the 80s, if we could just go back, I don't want to go back to the 80s, I remember 80s hair. Okay, if I could just go back to a simpler time, if I could just go, man, it was easier, it was familiar, if we could just go back. But can I just say something to you? I've lived a week or two, a day or two, a month or two, and I've experienced some of those times, and there are a lot of you who, because of your span of history, don't realize this, but we've been through some stuff before. For those of you who are old enough, as I am, to remember the 60s and 70s, we had some stuff going on in the 60s. We were burning down whole parts of cities in the 60s and the 70s. You think it's tough now? We had some stuff going on back then. So sometimes when we say, oh, I just wish we could go back, wish we could have this, wish we could do this, it really is not what we remember because we have forgotten what the bad parts were all about. Now, I'm going to say something. I'm going to get in a lot of trouble for this, but not my first rodeo. All right, we're kind of the same way as these people speaking to Jesus, and that is, we are believing that the right person or the right party will make everything better. if we can just get the Democrats in charge, but if I'm a Republican, then I hate the Democrats, and if I'm a Democrat, then I hate the Republicans, and if I'm an independent, I just hate everybody. Right? And so we think, well, if this party is in charge, or if this person's in the White House, or if this or that or the other, but I am here to tell you today that it doesn't matter what party is in charge. It doesn't matter who is in charge in this nation or around the world, because the Bible says that we believers are in the world, but we are not of the world. So that, listen, a political solution will not change racism. A political solution will not change any ism that's out there that we've got. If you don't like somebody because of the color of their skin or because of their ethnicity or because they're female or they're male or whatever your issue is, it is not a legislation problem. It is a heart problem that only Jesus Christ can take care of. We're not going to settle it, so would you stay off Facebook and quit belittling the other part of God's body? Leave them alone. You may not agree with them, you may not like them, and it doesn't matter what spectrum, liberal, conservative, all of you who fall in the middle and get shot by both sides, it doesn't matter, because a political solution. David is not going to sit on the throne again and bring back restoration to Israel. There is coming one who is going to ascend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ will rise. I'm not supposed to preach. There's got to be something that grabs a hold of us that says, wait a minute. Jesus' answer, when he answers them, was not about today. It was all about the eternal. Read what he says. They're asking him, are you going to do this? Are you going to do this now? And he starts talking about eternal life. He starts talking about eternal things. Jesus is about restoring the kingdom of God. The first thing out of Jesus' mouth. Now, don't you think if you are God's only begotten son, that your first sermon is going to be pretty important? Anybody believe that? I mean, the first time you're going to preach, it's going to be good. Here's Jesus' first sermon. Ready? Repent or change your mind, for the kingdom of heaven has arrived. That's his first declaration. Why? Because Jesus came to restore the kingdom of God. Jesus is about not a natural solution. He is about a spiritual solution, because Jesus knows you can't legislate righteousness. You can't legislate holiness. It has to come from inside somebody. It is the only way that their lives are going to be changed. And so Jesus shows up doing things a little bit differently. It's interesting. Jesus says to them, hey, why are you going to kill me? Which of my works is it that you're going to kill me over? Now think about this for a minute. We have a tendency in America, especially in the Western church, we don't have many works, miraculous works. We don't talk about that. God used to do that way back when. But Jesus says, listen, let's talk. He said, which of my works? Was it the water to wine thing that messed you guys up? Did you get a little upset and ticked off because I made the wedding feast go better? He said, or was it maybe when I went on the Sabbath day, maybe that messed your world up, and I went and I healed the guy at the pool of Bethesda, and I walked out of there, and he's healed. Is that what messed you up? Or maybe, he said, whoa, maybe you got ticked off about the fish and chips Sunday. When I took a little boy's lunch and fed 5,000 men plus women and children with just a little boy's lunch of some fish and some crackers, and we fed them. He said, or maybe what you're upset about is when I walked on water, because that one really will mess your world up, especially if you're in a boat at night. Come on, some of y'all not getting it, all right? Promise you, go get in a boat tonight, and if somebody starts walking by, see if it doesn't freak your world out, all right? And a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the man who was born blind and how upset they got about that. And they were ready to kick the man who was born blind and got healed. They're ready to get rid of his parents, kick him out of the church, and all this stuff. And Jesus is saying to them, which of these works that I did upset you? See, here's one thing that we have to understand, is that the kingdom of God is not just about words. Now, I'll talk about words in a moment, but the kingdom of God is about works and words. All right? Don't miss that. We have taken it in our day and age, and we've made it all about words. We have made it all about, okay, if you will confess, if you will profess, if you will walk the Roman road, if you will let me explain to you the four spiritual laws, if you will just make a commitment to Jesus Christ. All of those things are needful, and all of those things are good. But Jesus said, listen, I am coming to show you a new way, and that new way is demonstrated first of all by works. Boy, I'm getting some looks. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are referred to as what? Gospels. Then you get this book. What's the next book? Acts. We just call it Acts. We really ought to call it the whole thing, because it is referred to as the Acts of the Apostles. It's going to get good. The book that follows everything about what Jesus did here on earth, that tells us what the church ought to be about, is not called the words of the apostles. It is not called the great didactical teaching of the holy men of old, who spoke under the unction of the Almighty God. You got to stretch that one out. It's called the acts, the action of the apostles. And what you find as you begin to read the Acts of the Apostles is that they picked up right where Jesus stopped. Jesus healed blinded people. What did the apostles do? Jesus raised people from the dead. Uh-oh, that one's too hard. Wait a minute. Peter walked into the room and said, Tabitha, arise, get up. And she's dead, and she gets up. The Bible says this. The Bible says that Peter was so anointed of God that he would be walking by, and you can't really see this, but I got to, for some reason, because of the way these lights are, I have a double shadow here. Man, this is powerful. I got two shadows, all right? And the Bible says that people would lay the sick people in the street just hoping that Peter would walk by, not that he would stop and bend over and lay hands on them and rebuke their sickness, but just that his shadow would touch them and they would be instantly healed by the acts of the apostles, by the works that were performed by those who followed Jesus Christ. The Word of God says that they took cloths, they took one of the Apostle Paul's old Armani robes that he had worn to preach in. And they said, we know it was expensive, but we don't care. And they started cutting up. It's going to be my sermon. It's going to be an Armani if I want it to be. And they started cutting up his Armani robe, and they started passing it out. And the Bible says that the power of the Holy Spirit went with those cloths as a sign of what God was doing. And they would lay them on sick people, and sick people would get healed. Well, now, Pastor, you got to understand, I know God did do that, but I don't believe he does that anymore, and that's our problem. See, if he ever has, he still will. If he ever did do it, he still can do it. The Bible says that he is the same yesterday, today and forever. Well, now you got to understand, we just don't need that anymore. Have you seen how many sick people we've got? Have you seen how many people are diagnosed with cancer every day and AIDS every day and all kind of diseases and heart problems and what? We don't need healing. Listen, I don't know where you've been living, but in my world, we need some healing happening. We need some shadows touching people. We need some claws touching people. We need some of the miraculous works of the Spirit. Yes, we need the words, and I'm going to talk about the words, but we don't just need words. We have heard, listen, most of us have heard enough sermons to get to heaven and back. And the problem is we're back. You ready? I'm gonna hurt you. You ready? I don't need another sermon. I need to see God do something. I don't know if there's anybody else. Listen, I've been doing this for a long time, and I've seen the moves of God, and I've seen God do great and powerful things. But there's something stirring in my spirit saying, I'm ready to see a new move. I'm ready to see God do something new. I'm ready to walk out and go, I don't know what that was. You said, everything should be done decently and in order. Pastor, you start preaching these kind of sermons, and we'll get wildfire. Let me just help you. It's okay, because we got enough wet blankets, they'll put it out. Uh-oh. See, there's got to come something. Your child who's away from God is not going to be convinced by your argument, because you've already given them the argument for years. You've already told them why Jesus Christ is important in their life, and they've walked far away from it. But let them get in the midst of a situation that there's no answer to. And you walk in, and because of your prayer and because of the power of the Holy Spirit that's in you, you're able to walk in there, and there's a sickness that they're not recovering from, and you walk in and say, let me pray for you, and in the name of Jesus, be healed. And they get healed. I promise you, they're going to be on the front row next Sunday. You're not going to have to convince them. You're not going to have to theologically debate with them whether or not Jesus Christ is the way. His works will prove to them. In fact, these people who hated Jesus with everything within them still had to say, can't touch your works. Now, we're ticked off because you said you're the Messiah and you're God's son and you're God. We're upset about that. But we're not stoning you for your works. What would happen? Can I just get really politically wrong? What would happen if all of a sudden one of the senators on the Senate floor just dropped dead of a heart attack? Some of you'd shout. If it was the guy you don't like, or the gal. And what if there was a spirit-filled believer? And I know that's asking for a lot, but forget that, Eddie. What if there was a spirit-filled believer who just walked down and said, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk? Do you think that there's going to be arguing that day on the Senate floor about why I hate you and why you're the idiot, etc.? No, I don't. You're not going to have to call a prayer meeting. See, again, we're trying to find a political solution. Now, Jesus used words. Let me talk about it quickly. Jesus used words to Nicodemus. He talked about being born again. I believe you need to be born again. You've got to come to that place where born again takes place in your life, where you come in a relationship with Jesus. He talks to the woman at the well about living water, and he says, you got to receive from me. You got to get me inside of you, because I am the living water. He talks to the multitudes after they hear him and after he's fed them, and he talks to them about the bread of life, that he is the bread of life. And he says, listen, you got to have this. You got to get this inside of you. He stands up at the festival and says, come to me, because you're going to get water that's going to be down inside of you. And he begins to talk about the Holy Spirit that's going to spring up inside of them. And then he talks about, he said, I'm the good shepherd, and I lay my life down for the sheep. All of these things he talks about, all of these things he gives. You say, Pastor, why aren't you spending a lot of time with that? Because we have heard that over and over and over again. You don't need those sermons again. What you need to do is come to the place of saying, wait a minute, the kingdom of God is not about a natural phenomena. It is about demonstration and then declaration. When you study, I'll give you homework. All right, when you go home today, I challenge you this next week to begin to read the book of the Acts of the Apostle. And what you will find is that you will find every time there is revival and church growth, except one, and I'm not telling you where it was, except one time in the whole book of Acts that you see church growth and revival happening, every one of those, there is a significant miracle that takes place. Day of Pentecost. Suddenly, the sound from heaven as of rushing mighty wind fills the house where they're sitting. There appears on them cloven tongues like fire. It sits upon each. They begin to speak in tongues. And the Bible says, and people gathered from everywhere. And Peter stands up, begins to preach, and said, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, says the Lord, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Young men will see visions. And as he's preaching that, the word of God says they're convicted in their heart. And 3,000 people get saved because of a sign, because of a miracle, because of the works of God. Just a few days later, the Bible says that Peter and John, on their way to prayer, they hadn't even prayed yet. On their way to prayer, seeing a certain lame man laying at the gate, beautiful, who said, I need some money. And they said, so do we. Our wives took it all. We don't have any. But here's what they said. But they said, silver and gold we don't have, but what we do have, we give you in the name of Jesus. Rise and walk. And the Bible says instantly that man is healed. He jumps up, goes into the temple praising God. And the Bible says, and 5,000 men are added to the church that day. That's the way the book of Acts goes. It goes from one to the other, as the miraculous power of God is demonstrated in the society, and as it's demonstrated in the society, it brings people into relationship with Jesus Christ. I thank God for all technology. I don't even understand what we've got anymore. They try to explain it to me, how we're on Facebook, how I'm streaming to umpteen campuses. And I just go, you guys might as well be saying Abba Dabba, Karabba, whatever. It don't matter. I don't understand a word you're saying. But you know what? Listen to me. Hear me carefully. If I didn't have one bit of technology, but I had the works of God happening, people would beat down the door to get to me, because they are saying, I've got to have a reality in my life. Listen to me, people of God. We got to come to the place where we come back to that place where we are hungry, where we are thirsty, where we are saying, God, there's got to be something more than just a nice homiletical little message that pastor worked on this week and he put some good things together, because I've got somebody in my family who needs Jesus, and I've tried every argument, I've tried every rationalization that I know, and they are still not saved. But if Jesus shows up. See, Jesus gives us a new way of living, and I don't have time to go into it. But I'll quickly give them to you, all right? This will be another sermon for somewhere down the road 10 years from now. The first thing about kingdom living is it's a new way of living, all right? The book of Hebrews says it this way. The 8th chapter of the book of Hebrews will mess your whole world up if you're religious. Okay, if you're a legalistic religious person, the 8th chapter of the book of Hebrews will mess you up. Most scholars think Paul wrote it. Not 100% sure, but we'll say Paul wrote it. Now listen to what Paul says in verse 7. All right, I don't have time to read the whole context. He says, for if there had been nothing wrong with that first covenant, okay? You got your Bible? Anybody got your Bible with you? Grab your Bible. I know you brought it because you want to look holy. All right? Grab your Bible. Go to the book of Malachi. Go to the book of Malachi. You there? You there? Okay, I'm there. Book of Malachi. Here's what Paul is saying, and I'm going to be accused of heresy and everything else. For if there had been nothing wrong with Genesis through Malachi, there would have been no place where we would have sought for another. He said, if this had been everything, there would be no need for another. Look in verse 13. I'm going to skip down. Now he's talking about the New Testament. By calling this covenant new, I can't even read it. I'm going to do it this way because I want you to see it. By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one. No, come on, say that. I can't believe that preacher said that. That preacher didn't say that. Paul said that. Get mad at him. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you, there won't be many of you, there'll be a few of you. How many of you remember 8-track tapes? Remember, I remember when 8-track tapes came out. They were awesome. They were the greatest thing. And they'd come out and, see, these young ones looking at me like I'm speaking a foreign language. 8-track, they were a box. They were about this big. And you slid them into an 8-track deck that was like this big. And you had one in your car. Anybody have one? How many of you had one in your car? I see you're old like me. Okay. And you had it in your car. And it was great because you could have whoever you wanted at that point in time. And you pop it in. The problem was it would get into the second song and it would have to go to the next track. And so you're getting your groove thing on. You know, my groove thing broke. But anyway, you're getting your groove going. And all of a sudden it stops. And you think something's wrong. It's just changing. Come on, y'all don't know this, do you? It's just changing to the next track. Hold on, it'll get there. So it goes to the next track, and then you do whatever. And that was one, man, we were so cool, because we could go out. That way you didn't have to listen to AM radio, because you didn't even have FM radio. You had AM radio, basically, and you sure didn't have satellite radio. Praise God for satellite radio. Thank you, Jesus, for satellite radio. And so you'd pop the 8-track in and you'd listen to whoever you wanted to. And then they came out with cassettes. Come on. How many of you, what, you remember cassettes? Oh, we were thrilled when cassettes came out. Come on, cassettes were awesome, right? You cassettes, and if you ever had a cassette player and a cassette deck, you have used pencils. See, I don't even have to tell, see, those of you who had them, I don't even have to tell you what you did, right? Because, see, you young ones, go ask your grandma, they'll tell you, all right? It would get caught up in the heads or something, and it'd get pulled out and be, you know, 83 feet of it. And you get two pencils, right? Am I right? And you start turning them until you got carpal tunnel. You know, and if it was real bad and you were real good, you'd splice it. You know, you'd splice it, put a little tape on it. You were ready to go. And it was cool. And all of a sudden, we weren't listening to 8-tracks. And, man, we had gone to cassettes. And then CDs. Ooh, praise Jesus. Now, here's what I would say to some of you. If you're still listening to an 8-track, they're obsolete. Now, I promise they're still out there because I see them on eBay every once in a while, and you can order them, and you can still get some 8-track tapes, but you know, it's going to be like Three Dog Night and the Doobie Brothers from back in the 70s. That's all you can get. Maybe Barry White. I don't know. Maybe Barry probably still in there somewhere. But I guarantee you will not find Cardi B on. See, y'all think I'm dead, but I'm not. All right, you won't find whatever's happening today. You are not able to get on an 8-track tape. Why? Because it's obsolete. What are you saying, Pastor? There are a lot of us who we don't understand. There's a new way of living. God has called us to a new way of living. He has called us to that place where we are needing to live in this new covenant that he said is better than Abraham's covenant, that you and I can walk in the blessings. I'm not under that legalistic, sacrificial mode anymore. I am now walking with God, and he is my Father, and he has brought me into relationship with him, and I can live for him. All right, let me give you the second one. I got to hurry. I got to be done. All right, the second way is there's a new way to approach God. In the Old Testament, again, the high priest once a year, and this really comes home to me because it'd be the pastor. Once a year, the high priest, and again, it's my sermon, he would put on his Armani robe. All right? And at the end of his robe down there, the tailors had put a pomegranate, which was a fruit, and a bell, and it was all the way around his robe. It was all the way around. And so as he's walking to go back into the Holy of Holies, he only went once a year to commune with God and take the sacrifice, he would go back, and as long as the bells were ringing, everything was okay. All right? They hear a little ding-a-ling-ling-ling-ling. I hear it. We good. Oh, praise God. If the bell stopped, they had put a rope around his leg, and they go, he's dead, yank him out. Now, I don't know about you. As a pastor, I would not want to be up here every week with a rope around my leg. And I'm just preaching along, and all of a sudden, I just drop dead. And y'all pull me off and say, well, he must have sinned this week. He must have done something. I'm glad we have a different relationship. I'm glad there's a different way of living. In fact, we are to call him our Father. We are in this relationship. Jesus said, if you want to know how to pray, pray this way. Our Father who art in heaven. It was a radical difference from what the children of Israel were used to, because God said, listen, this is how I want you to approach me from now on. I want you to approach me from a relationship, because that's how the kingdom of God operates. Remember what Jesus said. I got to be done. Jesus said this one time. He said, I don't do anything that I don't see my Father do. He said, there's this relationship between me and the Father. And he said, I'm not doing anything. You see that miracle? It's because the Father wanted me to do that miracle. If we would stay in that kind of a relationship, we would be doing all kind of stuff, because the relationship, out of the fruit of the relationship flows the sound. I don't even have time to go here. The sound, did you get it? Around around the hem of the Armani robe is a sound that is produced by fruit. I'll let you go chew on that one. All right? Number three, let's do the third one, okay? The third one is, there's a new way to guide my life. The Old Testament's all about legalism. It's all about do's and don'ts. The New Testament, here's what John 13:34 says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. You want to solve? I got the solution. You want to solve every problem in your neighborhood? I'll bring it even closer. You want to solve every problem in your family? You want to solve every problem in the business world? You want to solve every problem in our nation and in our world? Here's how you do it. You ask one simple question every time you do something, and that is, what does love want me to do? I don't look at somebody and judge them because of the color of their skin, because that's not loving. I don't look at somebody and hate them because they came from a certain part of the world, because that's not loving. I don't try to take from somebody what they rightfully work for and claim it as my own, because that's not loving. What does love want me to do? Now, I know what some Christians say, because I hear enough through the grapevine. A lot of Christians have a great theologian, and she said, what's love got to do with it? And that's the problem. You want to change the world? I'm not talking about, listen, I'm not expecting the world to do this. Well, my neighbor treated me bad. Are they a believer? No. Well, suck it up, buttercup. You're a Christian. You're a believer. Jesus said, if they slap you on one cheek, turn the other. If they ask for your coat, give them your cloak also. Jesus is saying to us, there's a new way to live this life. And that is, what does love want me to do? I believe love wants me to heal the sick. I believe love wants me to care fact, Jesus, the scripture tells us this. It says, if you want to know what pure and undefiled religion is, it's when you take care of widows and orphans. Not when you went to church and shouted. Controversy. Remember the subject. Controversy. Jesus, in moments, brings controversy. Today's one of those moments. Am I going to continue to live with an old mindset, a carnal mindset, a mindset that they had in this scripture? Or am I going to change my way of thinking and start living a kingdom lifestyle in a kingdom way to see, watch it, His kingdom come and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven? If you don't know Jesus Christ today, I don't know what you're waiting on. What I do know is that some of you have been presented a Jesus that I wouldn't want either. I've seen Him. I've heard about Him and been told about Him, how He's going to do this, that, or the other. I want to tell you, this Jesus will fight for you to the very end. In fact, this Jesus said, if you'll come and get in His hand, nobody can take you out of His hand. And so if you need Him today, you're going to get an opportunity in just a moment to ask Him to come into your life and to change it today.